Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So, Shannon Maine, thank you so much for calling in. So I know that this was an anticipated report and meeting, and I've been covering this, and we've been covering it since last April, and then into May. So it was April, then there was a meeting in May, and then, you know, the school year was ending, and they promised to have the report upcoming. Was it odd to you that this meeting was called, it was a virtual meeting, and that it was Thanksgiving week on a Monday night, or is that the normally scheduled night that they would release something like this?
I mean, yeah, that was odd to me. It was a Safe Schools Committee meeting, which was already on the schedule, but the part that was odd is that the school district was briefed on this investigation report on October 3rd, and there's been 4 or 5 different meetings that they could have mentioned something about this. Our last action meeting was postponed due to an electrical issue, but there has been multiple meetings, work session meetings, action meetings since October 3rd, where this could have been communicated. The other thing was, for the renovation project and after this incident happened, in April, there was a community forum about safe schools where they had it at the high school, invited the public to attend so we can fully understand what happened. And the only way we knew about this was it was on the agenda 24 hours before this meeting. Kids are off school this week. I mean, yes, I do think they always say the word transparency. This was a hot topic and a topic that everyone's been following, asking about. It definitely should have been in person, possibly in a forum type of setting, I believe.
So what, and this has to do with this student was attacked, unprovoked attack in the school lunchroom from behind. It was captured on video at the time. And then the offender, and these are underage juveniles. If I knew their names, I would not report it. I never do, obviously. But in this case, the attacker attacked this girl from behind with one of those metal, like a Stanley Cup, struck her in the head. It was really a violent attack. I think the local media, I think it's fair to say, poo-pooed it a little bit. I mean, if my kid was attacked and their head, you know, with a head wound, had to go to the emergency room, to my understanding, had some staples or stitches in her scalp. I mean, that's not a light incident. And when the juvenile was taken to court, there were reports from the sheriff's office, from the court reports, that the student had swung at least one sheriff's deputy with a water jug, had swung at a sheriff's deputy as well during a court appearance. So this is obviously a problem child that had issues going on. But as far as this goes, Shannon, what can you tell us as far as the safety report and what happened?
Yeah, so I mean, the report yesterday was pretty much what we expected. It was kind of surface details, which I understand the FERPA, the Family Education Rights to Privacy Act, and we don't have to know the details about the individual child, because I do think that things like this in our school district are happening, where children are getting placed in different schools or out of school placement and back in school placement, which they did touch on yesterday. I mean, North Penn is very big on inclusion and having everybody included in the classroom, but I mean, to me, even the teacher's workload with managing, like, somebody with aggressive behavior, I mean, it's a burden on the teachers. It's driving away attention from the instruction for the whole entire class. And, I mean, if parents push back and they don't want a more restrictive classroom for their child, I feel like our administration, rather than fighting back against that, says, okay, that's fine, we'll put them back in the classroom. So that's, I think, what happened here. I mean, the student was with my daughter at Penfield and then was out of school placement and brought back into a different middle school, which I think is the biggest failure here. It was briefly touched on by Dr. Bauer. He said that the people involved on that day did the best they could on that day of the incident, which I kind of do agree with. It was very timely, the way that they reacted. There was one incident where they said kids were on lockdown for longer than they had to be the day of the incident, and they mentioned that they now increased the loudspeaker changes. They increased, like, TV monitors for notifying students about lockdown issues. But they didn't really talk about, and they kept hiding behind the Family Privacy Act. They didn't really talk about the weeks and months leading up to I mean, the transfer mm-hmm. of the student to another school from our district. And I believe this is happening across our district often. They did talk about how they want to have a team of, like, referral process. If somebody's coming from, say, the middle school to the high school, having those principals and all discuss any problems. And if somebody's coming from, like, a private school into our school or from Northbridge into our one of our schools. But that, to me, should have been the whole part of the investigation. Mm-hmm. It should have been the weeks, months leading up to this. What was discussed? How was this child brought back into the school district and into the classroom? Did the principals amongst the schools talk? What did they talk about? Who allowed and made the decision to put them back in the gen ed classroom? Mm-hmm. North Penn did talk about how they, you know, might look at some other options as far as having alternative classrooms or increasing the Northbridge to allow elementary kids to have some additional supports of maybe an outside the school setting or the regular classroom setting. But Bauer did mention that he believes that everything that they could have, everything that was in the report has now been already put in place or is being put in place. And he has full confidence that any administration structure and all has already been implemented, which those are the things that as a concerned parent, I would like to hear. Mm-hmm. What are those things that you've implemented? You have full confidence that everything is in progress and you've already established it. Well, what are those things? Where were the system failures? How do we allow the aggressive behaved kids back in our regular classroom setting? Everybody loses in that situation. Right. The gen ed kids that are in that classroom are losing. The teachers probably have to deal with aggressive behaviors throughout the day, and everybody's losing in that situation. And that's where I think the investigation should have drawn more attention to, and we should hear about what policies were in place, how we are changing them specifically. And they did say they can't mention specifics mm-hmm. because of the Family Privacy Act, but we're not asking about specifics on the student.
Right.
This has been happening to multiple students. So what are the processes of who decides whether this kid comes back or this kid gets sent out to a different alternative placement?
Yeah. Share. So I feel fully confident that all of these things are either in progress or established. And many of the recommendations, as Mr. Summers said, there were some that were a little more specific recommendations, but then they would share information that perhaps could be a FERPA violation. Right. So specific matters about a student, if you share that recommendation, it might share a little too much about the student, if you will.
So that was that Superintendent Bauer speaking out about it. Yeah, I would say that. And here's what's unfortunate, Shannon, that what happens in these cases is that when parents get frustrated, the only way to get the answers is then to file some kind of a lawsuit. Right. So if the parents get together and file some kind of a lawsuit, or the victim's parents do so. Go ahead, Dan. Do you have audio?
No, so I was listening to something cute there.
So are there any reports that you know of, Shannon, as far as the victim in all of this? How is she doing? She was 12 years old, I believe, at the time. And so do we know why she was targeted? Have an update on how she's doing? And then as well, is that family considering any kind of legal action?
I mean, I don't want to talk mm-hmm. specifically about that family, but I do know that the student is back in school and has been back in school.
Good.
I do know that there were, I mean, even Dr. Bauer talks about lawsuits in between each family. I believe both families are filing lawsuits. But when it comes down to that, though, like, at this point, yes, like, I would like to see the full copy of the investigation. I am going to file a right to know request today to see a full copy of the investigation. I mean, they showed us some slides. I mean, there's like 4 or 5 slides. There might be more than that, mm-hmm. about the investigation, about the recommendations that are kind of surface recommendations, you know, establish a cell phone policy, which the cell phone, yes, there probably was cell phone bullying. That happens. Whether you try to nip it at the school district level, outside of school, these kids are going to be bullying each other on the cell phones. Just, it is what it is. But the violent behavior and the transfer of the students and the policies in place that allow that to continue to happen is what the issue is. And the investigation has to talk about that somewhere. So I plan on requesting, you know, I'm part of the North Penn United.
Yes.
We have a Facebook page that we put this out there on. Nobody would have known about this meeting and this agenda because you're right. The kids are off school this whole week. It's fall break. No one was paying attention to the meetings. We did cover it and put it out there yesterday before the meeting. But we do. We do have attorneys involved. We talked to two attorneys about the Title IX policy. We have two attorneys that we can contact and talk to that know all about the Sunshine Law. We are going to ask for the full report so we can see the full, I think it's over 100-page report instead of just a couple of slides. And they can redact whatever they want. They can redact. I don't want to hear anything about the students, really. I just want to know about the policies that failed leading up to this and now what we are actually doing, the specifics, to make sure that when there are aggressive kids in the school classroom that are destroying the classrooms or already had violent attacks, you know, against other students or teachers, what is being done? These teachers can't handle this in the classroom. What is being done in our school district, either put them in alternative placement or if there is alternative placement within the school itself?
Yes.
Whether you bring in more aides or bring in more, whether it's special education or counselors, I know they said they've increased security. They talked about how they have this new weapons detection system. But the problem is all these great systems for weapons detection is not preventing this inclusion model that North Penn has. It continues to keep aggressive students in our children's classrooms. So that's a policy issue. That's a policy issue.
And the other piece of this is, what about the kids? Because there were reports that there were students who were going to the front office saying that there's a kid who's threatening and something's going to happen, or somebody's, there's going to be an attack, there's going to be something here. What about those? Were any of those concerns addressed?
I mean, none of those concerns were addressed. I've heard comments from both sides of that aisle about things being reported, and then things, you know, reported on both sides of that situation that day or the weeks leading up to that. I mean, the student was only in that new school for a couple of days before this attack happened, but and was in, I believe, in the general education classrooms. But the problem is, you know, did the principals talk? Did they know what kind of student they were getting into the building? Did they have any precautions in place? I mean, kids are bullied every day. They even said that we get tips and we get phone calls and we get things every day that they, you know, have to monitor to see what's important and what's not important to deal with. But I'm sure they do have a new cell phone policy this year, but it's not a new cell phone policy. It's been a cell phone policy. They're just now enforcing it this year, which they did talk about how with the new cell phone policy and trying to eliminate, you know, the bullying throughout the day within the cell phones and posting videos, that that's going to help with this. But again, my concern is that the policies and failures leading up to this, allowing students to transfer into aggressive behavior, because these students were already in fights in the previous school.
Right.
I mean, what's it going to take? I mean, yeah, it was a Stanley Cup. It wasn't a weapon. I mean, it is a weapon. It's a metal cup.
Right.
But what's it going to take?
Could have been pencil.
The student could have died. I mean, if you beat them repeatedly over the head with a Stanley Cup, I mean, what's it going to take to remove the aggressive, you know, behaviors from our classrooms?
Right. Yeah, it just sounds like you didn't get a lot of answers, and I'm sorry to hear, Shannon, that, you know, you have to file a Freedom of Information request or get lawyers involved in some of these cases to even have that transparency. And you're right, that is something that Terry Tracy at Broad and Liberty had actually talked about, Title IX policies and why they have, believe it or not, we talk about Title IX all the time with regard to, you know, biological males perhaps playing in girls' sports, but there's more to it. That, in fact, the accusation under the current administration, and this affects everybody in the nation, is that the administration changed it such that it's easier, the allegation is, easier to hide things like this. In other words, a Title IX policy also should say that there should be full transparency, that everybody should be informed. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was something I remember Terry telling me about, that people don't report that as much, but under the Trump administration, they made sure, it was Betsy DeVos, right? She was overseeing that, but that they wrote it such that any type of incident that happens, and that this has nothing to do with the gender identity, that has nothing to do with it, but anything in schools, that they're going to go ahead and make sure that there's a full investigation, that there's full transparency, and that they don't make it easier for schools and school boards and that sort of thing to not report everything. Do you know what I'm saying? That was what Terry, I remember vividly. That was a piece that I did not know until he and his investigative journalist had reported on that. So that's, you know, like you said, the policies matter on this one. There was a promise of transparency, though. And so do you feel that upcoming, they will release this, or have they said, no, they're not going to even release a redacted version of it?
No, they pretty much said they're not going to release it. I mean, they just kept hiding behind the FERPA law, the Privacy Act, claiming that they cannot share information. Well, we understand, like, the need to protect the student's privacy, and I understand that as well. The excuse just to avoid that they're not going to address it here, mm-hmm. and that some things about their policies that would need to change or what they've been implementing, they're saying that some of those things could, you know, allude to some specifics about the student, so therefore they're not going to be sharing them here. But, I mean, the report, an executive session with the school board, they had over a two-hour executive session with the school board where they talked about what they found in this report. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to try to get a copy of the report. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to mention anybody's names or specific students. It's just about policy leading up to this, which hopefully the investigation did look into. Did the principals talk to each other? Like, how was this transfer made from outside of one school to an alternative school, then back into another school? I mean, what are those policies and procedures? I mean, Dr. Bauer, the superintendent, talked about how there's multiple, you know, eyes on more incidences, that they have multiple eyes on it because it's going to be, any incidences are going to be put into everybody's inbox so they can see what's going on an email daily basis. And that's all great that you're going to be seeing it more, but, like, what are the policies that are going to prevent these things from happening?
Right.
And with the whole transparency of it, our school board, I was on your show a while ago, but mm-hmm. In October, I think it was, yeah. where we were voting on the Title IX policy. Well, North Penn United was successful in getting that policy delayed out of the action meeting because it was not advertised correctly per the Sunshine Law. And we did fight on that, and they did delay that vote. But then they went ahead and put it on to a work session meeting November 12th, not an action meeting, and they voted on it quickly right then. And the school board directors even all doubled down on that vote. They all spoke and gave comment afterwards about how they absolutely agree with the Title IX changes and that including sports, everything should be included. And I just find that policy being voted on after November 12th, after mm-hmm. we already had a presidential election, knowing so that the new administration is probably going to overturn mm-hmm. These things in Title IX. Why are we going ahead and voting on that then, knowing that in a few months, you know, it's not going to be the law, is what mm-hmm. our school district keeps saying it's the law. But again, the transparency with that, I mean, mm-hmm. The meeting was postponed, the agenda topic was postponed, they never really said, except for 24 hours in advance, that it was going to be on a work session meeting instead. So North Penn did vote on that. It's in effect right now. As of November 12th, they went ahead and voted on the Title IX changes.
But they can't, for parents, now you had said that you can get it, you can be exempted or something, right? You can get your school exempted yeah. because of other states where they have Republican attorneys general, that they filed all of those different suits, right? So they're
yep.
so you're able to put a hold on it. Yeah, I can tell you, Shannon, why. It's because they, as much as they did not want publicity for last night's meeting, when they officially make it official that they've overturned some of this, and then they will welcome in the media, and the headline will be, oh, we are making sure that there's not a ban on transgender kids from the locker room that they, you know, feel should be, you know, that they identify with. They want that headline so that when the new administration comes in, and Trump, when I interviewed him, he told me day one on his executive order, all of this goes away. They want that headline so that they can say Trump is banning transgender children and imposing, you know, himself on the rights of transgender children. That's what mm-hmm. that's exactly what's going to happen across the country, and this is a good example of it. That's what they want. And
yeah,
and they're
exactly
doing
they
it. And I can tell you the reason, this is just my op-ed here, my opinion, but they're doing it because they know that Pennsylvania is critical to these, especially national elections. And so they're doing it for all of the next upcoming elections to say, see, he is ist. Right. He's racist.
Right.
He's sexist. He's, you know, transphobic, et cetera. And that's just not true, because what this
right.
is about, it's about especially girls being injured. in sports because they're playing up against biological males and girls. Like you and I met Riley Gaines when she was here. Dan tried to get her, but she's actually having a life.
Yeah, she sent me a picture of a hunting stand.
Of a hunting, she's out hunting
she's
with
out
her
hunting.
Husband.
What a badass she is!
But so she's you know with family and her husband and having a life. But I, yeah. you know, Riley, I thought the it was. To me, there was a moment in the when we met her, Shannon, and she had advised parents to say, you know what, call the district on this and push back on this and say, so what if anybody wants to withhold federal funding, for example, call them on it, call them on their bluff. Yep. I thought that was a powerful moment. And I just think it's so powerful when you hear these female athletes and they're talking about their injuries and also what happens in the locker room and how they feel violated, but nobody right. seems to care about them, Shannon.
And when speaking to Riley Gaines that day with you, Dawn, I mean, she did say that there's never been a case where federal funds were actually withheld. They just used that, mm-hmm. you know, to try to scare people into passing it. And North Penn, I mean, August 1st was when the Title IX administration, the Title IX was passed, and North Penn wanted to act on it immediately. We are a 9-0 school board. We are 9 Democrats, 0 Republicans, which in a school board, I would like there to be diversity in that board because not one person sheds light on anything else or asks any substantial questions. It's everybody's in line step, lockstep with, you know, voting on the same mm-hmm. thing. And as quickly as they went to go ahead to pass the Title IX changes in North Penn, once the new administration overturns it, I'm going to hold them accountable and our organization is going to hold them accountable to quickly, you know, put it back to where it was because our school district just keeps saying, well, it's not us. We're just following the law. We're following the law. So when it changes, I mean, we are going to be right on top of that to also get the change back as well. And that is it's a really bipartisan issue. We have multiple yeah. people on both sides, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, that have wrote in letters to us, to our email address, I've had people drop off anonymous letters to my house specifically about the Title IX. I'm assuming that they don't want their name mentioned, but mm-hmm. I know some of them are on the Democrat Party, have probably voted for our current school board, yeah. but they have girls that are in sports and in locker rooms, and it's just not right. Yeah. It's not right.
Yeah, and I've had the same. I've had so many people who on background will contact me, Shannon, to your point, and say, this is not a political issue to them. It's really a safety and privacy issue. And mm-hmm. that's why I think this story and this situation is, I think, something that is underplayed as far as even the last election, because I do feel that, and hey, I think people, you know me by now. If somebody was bullying any kid, I don't care what their gender identity is. It's not appropriate or proper. I would never violate even you and I are being very careful not to even identify, right? The right. actual, like the families or the kids or anything of that nature. So I think everybody's really sensitive and kind and wants to be inclusive and welcoming. But that doesn't mean that the rights of one individual should be allowed to then just trample on the privacy rights of girls who feel, first of all, in a locker room or bathroom, feel self-conscious and feel violated, you know, by a yep. biological male changing in front of them and so on and so forth. And there are ways that there are high quality ways to protect everybody's rights and everybody's privacy. But because it's politicized, unfortunately, that's not what's happening here.
I do have some great audio from a father by the name of Jason, if you wanted to hear that.
Yeah,
song.
Let's hear.
A couple of initial thoughts is having this meeting on the Monday before Thanksgiving mm-hmm. break seems to be a way of avoiding a yep. lot of public attention. I don't know why this wouldn't be at an action meeting. I know this is sort of an informational thing, but this is a pretty big informational item. So I think there is some cowardice on the board and on the admin by not actually having this in a forum and not putting it quickly on the itinerary to have on a virtual meeting. But that being said, the recommendations here, I have to agree with the last speaker. Mm-hmm. Wow. What we need is to reduce the amount of cell phone bullying, which I don't even think was an issue in this this instance. I know you can't name it specifically, but cell phone bullying is a big thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for having limited cell phone usage in high school and middle school. That makes a lot of sense. But that's not that's a red herring in this instance.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you're going to is more redundancy. These aren't recommendations. What allowed in this instance, I know you can't speak to specifically, but what allowed this person back into school? That's the policy problem. The policy problem said that allowed an administrator to come along and say, you know what, we'll just forget what problems this person was having in one middle school, and we'll put them in another middle school. Why did that happen? Yeah. And I know you can't speak to it specifically because of all the FERPA laws and what have you, but it's still relevant. And if that policy still exists, which will allow that to happen, what we're counting on is the redundancy where Dr. Bauer, I know that's our policy to allow this kind of nonsense to continue, but I'm going to have to veto this one because I'm the backstop to actually enacting these stupid policies, which we've passed, which we don't want to actually result in some bad thing to happen.
Yeah, the dad is well spoken. Yeah, it just sounds like they're not giving many specific answers to this.
Right.
It's a shame.
And they talk about checks and balances that they have now, more have more checks and balances, but they need to elaborate. What are those checks and balances? Mm-hmm. What are you doing to stop that? Yeah, I mean, Jason was absolutely correct in what he was saying, but it's all about the policies. It's not about the specifics about this child on that exact day. It was about the weeks and months leading up to this.
And so what's next? Because I want to stay on top of this, and we have an active group, as you well know, here, in a supportive group. So when is the next meeting, or is North Penn United, are you having a meeting? What's happening next?
Yeah, so, I mean, North Penn United, I mean, we're an organization to help get conservative school board directors elected. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a meeting on November 12th. We had over 30 people there with identified candidates that want to run. I mean, really, it's about bringing our community together, stopping with the nonsense, and at least getting a couple of our conservative people on the school board. So at least there is some, you know, communication back and forth amongst the board members. And right now, we have nobody asking questions to each other. The meeting that was postponed, the last action meeting that was postponed, is now back on the schedule. I believe it's December 2nd. I believe it is. I'll double check that. I'll post it on our North Penn United page.
Okay, I'll check.
But anybody can email us at npennunited@gmail.com. We do have an informational meeting on December 4th at an undisclosed location right now, just for our volunteers that we've recruited, because we're going to try to go big, and we're going to try to get, you know, bipartisan support on all of this about these policies that have been failures to our students. I mean, it's about, in the local school board elections and even local races, I don't think it's that big about political being Democrats versus Republican, but this particular board, the 9 Democrats, 0 Republican board, has made it all political. It's all about their political.
It's a shame
that they're making their decisions based on their political agendas. So, yes, I mean, I will keep posting on North Penn United. We have other volunteers that are writing op-eds and doing, you know, more things now that we've been getting a lot of people more involved. So just follow us on North Penn United on Facebook. We hope to expand out to Twitter and other things. And if you want to be on our email distribution list, just email us at npennunited@gmail.com.
Shannon, thank you so much. Thanks for keeping us informed, and I'll stay on it definitely. We don't want to let this, you know, die in darkness, as we say. So I hope you have
a
blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.